Let us read from the Word of God, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. The Word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not obey unto the voice of the Lord your God. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. Blessed are they who hear and keep God's holy word. For our text, let us turn to chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, verse 15. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Beloved congregation, Christians ought to be forward-looking people. If it is right, we have a hope that is laid up for us not here on this earth, but in the heavens. But it does not mean that we should forget the past. As we come to the end of this year, 2006, many of us look back. What was this year like? As this morning we listen to the Word of God, we are also told to look back and remember. We are told to remember in a special way, in a spiritual way, not just any way, but in a spiritual way, and thus cultivate a spiritual memory. Let us listen to our text this morning under the theme of spiritual memory, remember. And we will see, first of all, a humbling memory, secondly, a God-honoring memory, and thirdly, a helpful memory. So spiritual memory, remember. And we will see a humbling memory, a God-honoring memory, and a helpful memory. These words are spoken, the words of our text, by Moses to the children of Israel shortly before their entrance into the land of promise. They had been in Egypt for 400 some years, and they were being led from Egypt into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, which the Lord was to give them for an everlasting possession or inheritance. More than that, this change was taking place because, as our text says, the Lord had redeemed them. Behind them were the years of bondage in Egypt under the hand of Pharaoh, and in front of them were the promises of God, of blessing, that God had assured them of. But what we are told here in our text is that Israel, upon entering the land of promise, were not to forget their past, but remember that they had been slaves in the land of Egypt. These are important words, repeated various times, specifically in the book of Deuteronomy. Take the fourth commandment. In the book of Deuteronomy, as I read it this morning, that little different touch to it, somewhat different from the Exodus account. These words, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." They were not simply to remember that at one time they moved from one country to another country, from Egypt to Canaan. But these two countries, Egypt and Canaan, represent two different positions. They were to remember that they left the land of darkness for the land of light. That's what they were to remember. They were to remember that they had left the world for God and His Word. They were to remember that they had left bondage for freedom. That was the kind of glorious change that they were commanded to remember, that they were bondmen and that the Lord had redeemed them and given them commandments. Now, such a remembrance, especially to remember their bondage, was a humbling exercise. And the Lord said that specifically, as we read this morning, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if I may simply reread verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." End of quote. It was a humbling memory for Israel, and they had to tell their children, "Children, we were bondmen, slaves in Egypt, so that their children also might remember it. They also had to tell their children of the Lord's deliverance. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And thus remember the mighty deeds of the Lord. That was one of the very special elements of worship in Israel. It was actually the very thing that distinguished Israel from all other nations. The other nations also remembered their history, but then not as a history of the great deeds of their gods in whom they believed. But they remembered particularly the deeds of their rulers, the victories over other nations. And then when they would come home, they would build temples for their gods. And they would not mention the defeats that they suffered. They didn't want to pass those on to their next generations. And they did not focus on what their supposed gods had done, but what men had done for gods, their gods. That was entirely different with Israel. In Israel, history was the history of God's great and gracious deeds. And as the parents passed on those stories to their children, what did they speak of? Of God and His redeeming acts, redeeming His people. Now, throughout the Old Testament specifically, we find an emphasis on remember, remember, remember God's redeeming power. And often God gave signs to help His people remember. Think of the Passover supper with the signs of the Passover. Or think of the blood that was to be on the lintel and the doorposts. And God told them to celebrate the Passover every year. And then for 7 days eat unleavened bread. Bread of affliction, it was called. And then remember the day they came forth out of the land of Egypt. Now all those duties in the Old Testament of remember, 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 come to fulfillment in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus says to His church, to His disciples, remember, this do in remembrance of Me. You see, the redemption spoken of in the Old Testament pointed to the great redemption in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, God led His people out of bondage to a new exodus, or in a new exodus. And you will recall from the Bible that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration had Moses and Elijah standing next to Him, and they spoke with Him about His decease from Jerusalem. Literally it says that His exodus from Jerusalem. And Jesus is the true Passover Lamb, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. But this time the bondage was not a bondage from Pharaoh, but from Satan. A bondage to sin and to death. But Jesus, by His death on the cross, had justly purchased His people by paying for their sin and bringing them pardon at the cost of His own blood. Thus He had dealt with our guilt to remove it and overcome the forces of darkness and of Satan, which bound us as enemies of God that we had been. And now by His Word and Spirit, He leads us into the promised land of freedom in communion with God and in communion also with one another who are citizens in the kingdom of God. Now when we say that all the commandments to remember in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, then that is not to say that what we read in the Old Testament has no more meaning for us, no more significance for us. No, we read those, and from them we understand that we can only properly understand those words to remember when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus then says there at the Lord's Supper, actually the Passover table, and institutes the Lord's Supper, "This do in remembrance of me," he bids us to remember his suffering. And we cannot do that without remembering the cause of that suffering. Namely, our sin and our bondage. Now, what are the parts of that spiritual memory that Israel and we too must cultivate? First of all, we must remember our bondage. In Egypt, Israel had suffered physical bondage day by day. And what a humbling memory that was. That's also what the New Testament people of God are to remember. That once they too were bondmen, oppressed by sin and Satan. Every day there was the slavery to self and sin and Satan. Do you not remember what you once were? Dead in sins and trespasses? Do you not remember that once you were in the grip of the evil one? We are to remember from these words a lesson that we often have known, but we cannot recall it too frequently. It's the lesson that even though our sin is forgiven, it is never to be forgotten. God says, "I have redeemed thee." The bondage is past, but it was not to be forgotten. That's a truth that stands out in the Word of God. When God has redeemed us from that bondage, we are to remember what He redeemed us from. That's the doctrine that stands out in our text, first of all. We are to remember the bondage that we were in. But secondly, with the Israelites, we are to remember our helplessness. For what are bondmen? What are slaves? They cannot deliver themselves because they are in bondage. The Israelites could not break the bondage in Egypt. The bands that bound them, they could not break. They were utterly helpless, and they were to remember that bondage and the helplessness that was theirs. Then they were held in that mighty grip of Pharaoh. Helpless they were. What a humbling memory. Again, the New Testament people of God are also to remember this. They too were not only in bondage, but it was beyond their power to break the bondage. And how many of us know of that? That at the beginning of a year, as perhaps we think we'll do that tomorrow, that's when our resolutions begin again. And that's how many have done it year after year. They start out, "This year I'm going to change. This year I won't do that anymore. I'll break that sinful habit or thought pattern or that sinful desire. I'll do what's good and right and pleasing to God." But do you remember your helplessness? How many times you struggled and resolved to break free, and then by the end of a year you realized the shackles that were there at the start of the year. You feel them only tighter than at the start of the year. How humbling a memory. Isn't that what Robert Murray McShane sings in that lovely hymn that we heard on Christmas Day? "I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load." And then a little later he sings, "When free grace awoke me by light from on high, no refuge, no safety in self could I see. Or Charles Wesley, in a very lovely hymn, puts it this way in one of the stanzas, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's might." Now, non-Christians also sing those words, but they don't know what those words mean. A Christian knows what those words mean. He looks back on his bondage and he says, "That was me. I was helpless." Remember this. And when we remember what we were, we know that we are nothing in ourselves and never would be anything apart from what God in Christ has done. We owe everything to the grace of God. So that, first of all, remember that thou wert a bondman, a humbling memory. But secondly, a God-honoring memory. Because if that was the only thing we had to remember, our memory would be so dark and nothing more. Moses, however, goes on. He says, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." You see what Moses does? He moves from the people to the God of these people. When the people remember themselves, their memory is humbling. But when they remember their God, their memory lifts them up and honors God. And we can see here especially three things. First of all, this God honoring reminds us that God hears the cries of his people in bondage. Remember reading that in Exodus chapter 2, that one day the cries and the sighs of his people came up unto God by reason of their bondage. That's how it's put there. And then we read these words: God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So Israel was to remember that after many years of helplessness and bondage in Egypt, God sent Moses with his word and with his power. And they began to feel the presence of God, and increasingly so. One day there was darkness over all the land of Egypt, but God's light shone in Israel, in that part, in Goshen. And they began to feel that God had remembered his people Israel, had heard their cry, and was sending relief. Hope began to kindle their heart. And don't the New Testament people of God also today not remember that blessed day when they began to see light in their darkness? And they began to sense that God had heard their sighing, their groaning, had not forgotten them in his compassion, had heard their prayers. The darkness was driven away and light began to dawn. What a day of mercy that was, wasn't it? What a blessed memory this should have been for Israel. There were many days of difficulties ahead of Israel on the journey and then later in the land of promise, but there were also many sins as they journeyed through the wilderness and encountered setbacks, defeats. What did they do? They murmured, did they not? Again and again. What did they do at Mount Sinai, where God was writing his law? They committed idolatry. At times they longed to go back to bondage because they thought that was better there in Egypt. And sometimes today God's people also can get into that discontent and murmuring. can't they? When they meet setbacks and disappointments, and they begin to wonder, why is this happening now in my life, in our life? Remember the day when the Lord began to speak to your heart, when He began to hear your prayers, and He began to send light into your life. Remember it. And then tell your children. Tell your children. Tell your grandchildren. Tell them what? My son. My granddaughter. Whatever dark times we are in today, we have had a mighty deliverance. In the Old Testament in Egypt, God sent Moses to lead Israel out of that place of bondage and helplessness. He did it through the Red Sea. Remember that? And then through the wilderness to the land of promise, the land of rest. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, they also have to remember that. When they are discouraged, downcast, defeated, remember what God did for you in the past. How He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, into the world to carry you as the good shepherd out of your bondage. What He did for you, what you could not do yourself. He lifted you out of that pit. He brought you to that place of rest and refreshment. Remember it and give unto God Most High glory and honor. Secondly, this God-honoring call reminds us that we were not created for Egypt. No, God redeemed His people from bondage in Egypt. And we understand, don't we, when we read our Bible, something of what life had been like in Egypt. Egypt was what kind of a country? A godless country. A country where God, the Creator, the God of the covenant, was not worshipped, was not served. And when it was Sabbath day, the Word of God was not read to them, was not preached to them. They had to work on the Sabbath day. They were slaves. And when the Lord led His people out of Egypt through the wilderness, the first thing He had to teach His people afresh was how to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to assemble for worship. Egypt had been a land of materialism, where men and women lived for themselves. Egypt was the type of that worldly life without God, for self, for idols, and in which God was not regarded. When we look at life there in Egypt for the children of Israel, that was a life that over the hundreds of years they had become accustomed to, until God so afflicted them that they began to sigh and cry, and that groaning came up before the Lord, and the Lord redeemed them, and He brought them out of Egypt through the wilderness by His outstretched arm, and led them first to the Red Sea, and then 40 years wilderness, and then into the land of promise. And before they entered, He said, "Now remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God let thee out." And that's how it also is today with the people of God, whose sins have been forgiven, and who may know of the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, and they may know what it is to partake of it. But at the same time, the Lord makes clear that when sin is forgiven on the part of God's people, sin is not to be forgotten. Oh, congregation, sin is a dreadful evil. Sin is that whereby we merit the wrath of God. And when we come to see our need of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess the truth that Jesus Christ came not for the righteous, but for the ungodly, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel demonstrate that Christ, the Redeemer, is the Redeemer of the lost and the helpless, men and women in bondage. He alone could redeem them. He redeemed them. The fact of redemption, however, does not remove the obligation to remember our past, what we were before God in our past. And how often the Bible emphasizes this, not only Old Testament, but also New Testament. When Paul, for example, writes to the Romans, chapter 6, then he says, But God be thanked, he says, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So what they were and what they had become. Or Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and following, where Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, and he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, ye were without Christ, without God in the world. Don't forget it, he says, now that you are Christians, but remember it. And that's a God-honoring memory. And thirdly, this God-honoring call focuses on God's sovereignty, His gracious sovereignty. He redeemed. It is as if Moses is saying, when we look at who we were bondmen. But when we look at who God is, the Redeemer, He redeemed all His work. We didn't redeem ourselves. We didn't even redeem a little part ourselves. And I, Moses, I haven't done it. Pharaoh didn't set you free. It was God. Sovereign grace. He redeemed. And you remember that too, Christian. Don't you? It was free grace that awoke you by light from on high. It was God who began a good work in you. He shall complete it. It's God who made a difference where there was no difference. You see how God-honoring this spiritual memory is? The only reason we are different this morning, if we are different, is that God's grace has done something for us in bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ to God. And Moses calls us to remember how God redeems, how He hears the cries of the needy, how they were not created for the world, and how He delivered them from that bondage. What a God-honoring call. Remember on this last day of the year 2006. But thirdly, let us go on and look at how helpful this spiritual memory is. Because Moses did not simply say, remember it for its own sake, but he had a specific purpose in mind. Look at the text, the last part there. Therefore, I command thee this thing. Now consider those words. Firstly, spiritual memory helps our obedience to be fresh and constant. The whole purpose of living, if we are Christians, is to hold the Lord Jesus Christ precious unto you who believe. He, Jesus, is precious. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. And yet we know, don't we? We can get so accustomed to these words. And we say we are Christians. We can get so accustomed to these privileges that we don't really value them as we ought to. How can that be? Because we forget what we once were. And we forget the sovereignty of the redemption. Isn't that a remarkable thing that when a person is first converted, something happens to that person that is such a contrast in his life that he thinks, I'll never forget this. and a person is saved by Christ Jesus, brought out of bondage, his life changes totally. His eyes are opened and he rejoices in Christ. He loves Christ. He marvels at the word of Christ. He can't get enough of Christ. I was reading that in that beautiful devotional book by Robert Hawker. Morning, evening portions. Just a little section. I quote, "My soul, you were a bondman to the power of sin, to the love of sin, to the desire of sin, to the punishment of sin, to your own corrupt lust, to Satan. Was this your state, my soul, by nature and by practice? And has one like the Son of Man brought you out? Precious Jesus, what shall I say to thee? What shall I say for thee? What shall I render to the Lord for all the mercies he has done to me and for me? And dost thou say that I may remember that bondage and thy redemption? Oh, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I forget thee, thou author of all my joy and all my happiness. Nay, if I do not remember thee and prefer not thy love more than wine, in life, in death, and to all eternity, may my soul hang upon thee as the bee upon the flower, and let the fragrance of thy name be as ointment poured forth." End of quote. That's the language of a converted person, isn't it? And yet, that language can grow faint. As we saw the beginning of this month, December, what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in Asia Minor. "This I have against you, that you have left your first love." They had not remembered that in time past they were without Christ, without God in the world. And when they ceased to remember that, they still thought they were Christians, but their love for Christ grew cold. And that can be with any one of us. And notice that our text finishes with these words: "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing." Our service to Christ is not an optional thing. It's not something you may do if you wish. No, Scripture says if we understand what our redemption in Christ means, then we know that everything we are, everything we have, everything we can ever be, belongs to Christ, our Redeemer. So that first of all, in our third point of memory. Secondly, spiritual memory helps us to spread a testimony about God as a holy God. This helps us spread an honorable testimony of God. This memory helps us to witness for God. Witness of whom? Of God in all his attributes as the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. It helps us testify of the holiness of God. It helps us spread the truth of God as God really is in a world in which there are so many false views of God. It helps us lift up the God of the Bible as the one and true living God, and lift up salvation as provided in Christ as the only salvation. And that in a world in which there are so many gods, or people say, there is only one God, but there are many ways to that God. "No," says the Bible, "there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus. And it is only by a true and living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." And this will help us also exalt the Holy Spirit as the only one who can apply the work of Christ to the heart. And it helps us to say, "I need thee, O Holy Spirit,
And I can say it to another, you need the work of the Holy Spirit to bring you to life and a new birth and a holy life. So that's secondly. And thirdly, spiritual memory helps us stand as a witness to holy worship. All around us we see so much worship that is man-made, man-centered, man-pleasing. But this spiritual worship, or this spiritual memory, helps us lift up the worship of God that is God-centered, God-ordained, God-pleasing. Not simply what we enjoy, but what God has ordained in His Word. And not just as an extension of any kind of worldly entertainment, but His Word guiding everything. And so to stand for serious, solemn, simple worship, focusing on the preaching of the Holy Word of God, and then prayer, and then praising the name of the Lord. That doesn't make worship a gloomy experience. The Bible says, on the contrary, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2, verse 11. But that joy is not a superficial joy. It is a holy, spiritual, Christ-centered joy. Not merely because we find our emotions getting stirred, but because we find our souls being nourished and edified. So spiritual memory helps us to join trembling with our rejoicing and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There is a fourth way in which that spiritual memory helps, and that it makes the most impact on us as to how we deal with other people. We read that also in the context. We did not read it this morning, but if you would read it at home, Deuteronomy 15, then the immediate context in verse 14 is, to use the words of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, is to do to others what God has done for you. This spiritual memory helped the Israelites when they then had servants or slaves after 6 years to redeem their slaves, to give them freedom. And then as they left, to give to them the things they needed, and then to give to them as God had blessed them. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. Goes for us. We ought to remember who we were and who God is, and what He has done in Jesus Christ. And we will look at our neighbor differently. Do you remember Abram? When God told him that he was going to visit Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was going to come with judgment, that Abram prayed for the people of Sodom. And he said, Lord, if there are 10 righteous, wilt thou not spare the city? We pray very little like that, don't we? Why is that? Because we have forgotten what it is to be under bondage. But Abram had not forgotten his bondage. He grew up with idols, and the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him to the land of promise. And as a result, Abram poured out his heart to God. If there are 10 righteous, wilt thou destroy all of them? And when a church does not pray like that today, it's proof the church has forgotten the real state of the world in the sight of God. You may remember the name John Newton, Reverend John Newton, who composed the lovely hymn Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was found of thee. One day, a younger colleague visited Reverend John Newton, William Jay, and they were sitting in John Newton's study, and the younger pastor was telling Reverend Newton about a very wicked man in the town where he served. And he said something like, if that man ever gets converted, then I will not despair of the conversion of anyone else. What did John Newton reply? He said, ever since my own conversion, William, I have not despaired of the conversion of anyone. And then William J. saw a little wall text in the study of John Newton. And these words were written on that little text, on that little plaque. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. The first part of our text this morning. John Newton knew that in his earlier days he'd been a blasphemer, a godless man. And God saved him. And since that time, he did not despair, so he told William Jay, of the conversion of anyone else. Shouldn't it be our testimony? We see people around us, and they're so wicked, and we give up on them. We say they're utterly blind. And we know of some that they are sitting under the preaching of the word, but they hear nothing and they feel nothing. And they go on year after year and they remain the same. And they don't think that it's possible for them to be converted. Wait a minute, says the Bible. You were once like that. That's exactly the condition you were in before God came to save you. Do you see? That spiritual memory will create in us a spiritual tenderness for the lost, for the unconverted. And fifthly, this spiritual memory helps us live by the Holy Word of God. We are living in a day in which the Bible, the Word of God, is set aside. And we are living in a day in which the Bible, in the church in general, undermines the Word of God. And this spiritual memory helps us to live by God's Holy Word. We look back over 2006. Have we lived by the Holy Word of God? Or has our life been characterized by our familiarity with the world and our culture, our worldly culture? Have we perhaps this year swallowed the whole package that the world has so temptingly offered to us? Or have you and I stood for something holy, something separate from the world? Are we renowned for our kindness, for the way we use our tongues to honor God, to love our neighbor, and for using our money to further the cause of Christ? Finally, this spiritual memory should help us to be more in fellowship with each other within the church. Our spiritual fathers and mothers did this, did they not? They helped each other cultivate a spiritual memory over decades, throughout the past centuries. This past summer, Reverend Roberts reminded you of it when he preached on Malachi 3, verse 16 on the text, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." It's so important for Christians to come regularly together and share with one another what God has been saying to them in His Word and what God is doing for them. And then try to encourage the young with all the goodness that God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and try to explain and discuss and, if necessary, debate the Scriptures with the young in a way that they are built up in love. That's what gave our fathers and mothers spiritual strength and testimony to God. And that's how the love of God in Christ was built up in their midst. Do we not need more of this? Could the next year, 2007, not be a year in which we do more of that by His grace? I've been thinking as I stand here this morning, congregation, that it's a sermon that perhaps our children find difficult carrying something with for their home. And therefore, allow me to tell our children, and I'm telling you too, a little story. There was once a farmer, and he had many people working for him on his farm. He had one great big man work for him, and he was very difficult to handle. More difficult than anybody else. He could even be violent, ultimately because he had the same nature that you and I have by nature. But his boss, the farmer, could handle him as a child. Whenever the farmer said, and let's call that man's name Jim, "Jim, will you do this?" "Yes, sir." And if someone else had said it to him, he would have said, "No, I haven't got time." But whenever the boss said, "Will you do it?" he always said, "Yes." Why was that? Because when he was a little boy, he almost drowned in the river. He'd gone under once. He'd gone under twice. And he was going under again. That was the last time that he would die. And at that moment, the farmer had been there, and he had pulled him up out of the water. And Jim would never forget what his boss had done for him. Now, if that's done in our natural life, how much more in Christ? And so we see that spiritual memory helps in our obedience, in our testimony, in our worship, in our attitude towards others, in our respect for God's Word, and in our fellowship with each other. I have largely spoken to you who know the Lord and who walk in His ways. But those who have not come to know the Lord, what about you? Well, you have no spiritual memory, at least not the kind of memory that the Bible speaks of. What must you remember as you look back over the year, over the years? You must remember this one thing, that you are still a bondman, a slave, in bondage to your sins, in bondage to the world, in bondage to your lusts, in bondage to unbelief. That's what you must remember. And may God help you not forget it. This year, 2006, has been another year of bondage to you. A hardening yourself in your bondage. Let me add one other thing for you. This also you must remember. that God must and God can redeem you. He has redeemed many others, and his promises, his invitations still stand. Pray to him. Come to him. Pray that he redeem you for his mercy's sake, for the Redeemer's sake. And then the text of this morning also applies to you. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing. Amen.